at the University of Arkansas at Monticello, and I'm grateful for the mask that was given to me by the University of Arkansas Monticello. And I see Dr. Peggy Doss here, who's been our host, a chancellor here. Thank you for your hospitality, and you welcome us to your beautiful facility, and for hosting a meeting of community leaders here earlier. And obviously, with social distancing, it's a fairly small group, but I try to hear from educators and from CrossFit to here in Monticello, but also our hospital administrators to see the challenge they face, the medical community, as well as the business side to see how the economy is moving. And so it was a very instructive session that we had today, and grateful for being here in Monticello. And as our custom, we always try to focus on the statewide report first and then look at the Southeast region and the statistics in relation to this one public health region. I'm glad to be joined by Dr. Jose Romero today. And let's go straight to the, first of all, a letter. I like to share a letter from time to time. And I know this is not from Monticello, but I think it speaks from some of the messages that I heard today, but I wanted to share this because this is from Clarendon High School, and a letter that I received this week from the principal head football coach, so both a teacher and a football coach. But he said, "Many do not fully understand the role teachers and coaches play in a child's life. We spend as much, if not more, time than many of their parents. Not being able to see our students' faces or be around them has been the hardest part of this whole pandemic. At Clarendon High School, we are a family. When one of us hurts, we all hurt. When one is successful, we are all successful. We have worked hard to establish this culture with our faculty, students, parents, and community members. We are excited, at the same time worried about the unknown, but together we will get through this and we'll get better for it. We constantly talk about our core values of patience, perseverance, and pride. This year, we'll need all three. We all work together to do our part to help fight this virus. And again, thank you for your leadership and opportunity to educate and coach the children of Arkansas." But I think that speaks for a lot of educators and their heart for the children and a passion for continuing school this year that is so important to our communities. In terms of the cases, we had 703 new cases over the last 24 hours. That brings our total to 51,114 cases in Arkansas. In terms of hospitalizations, we had 21 that's been released from the hospital. And that's not the right technical term because we've had a reduction in hospitalizations of 21, which could be a net term. And so that brings us down to 486 hospitalized in Arkansas as a result of COVID-19. The deaths have increased 7 to 573. Those are the statistics for the last 24 hours. If you look at the 703, obviously that's an increase from yesterday, but it's a reduction from the previous 3 days, I believe it is. And so it shows that we continue to be flat, but we're not where we need to be as a state. The top counties in those cases are Pulaski County with 78, Logan County with 47, Sebastian County with 43, Garland County with 42, Jefferson County with 33, Pope County with 30, and the rest are under 30. I won't read them all, but Washington, Craighead, Mississippi, and Crawford and Crittenden County all had more than 20 cases, and that were the top counties that led to those increase of 703 cases in the state. In terms of testing, we did 4,401 tests yesterday, which I'll spend a little bit more time talking about as we go through the numbers. And then, as is our custom, let's go through the graphs. And I've got a little bit more than 10, but we'll go through them quickly because I like to go through the Southeast region. And so first is the number of cases. And you can see that we're up from yesterday. And that's obviously higher than we want it to be. But it's still reflecting on the 7-day rolling average Right now, we're still pointing down, but if you don't have each day a decreasing number of cases, that line will not continue. And then on the number of active cases, this is good news that that's down below the 7,000 level. And so whenever you slow the increase in cases, you have people recover. That will mean the active cases are declined, which is good news for our hospitals. And that leads to the number of currently hospitalized patients in Arkansas. And you can see it's fairly steady, but it's below the 500 mark, which is good. We want to have continued good news there because of the pressure on our hospitals. And this starts in looking at some of the numbers in terms of the regions of our state, and these are the five public health regions. And, of course, you see this is the growth rate of new cases in Arkansas between August 2nd and August 8th, and it's by the public health region. And you can see, remember, when we were struggling up in the Northwest, they were the leading growth in cases. And again, it's a success story where their growth is reduced. We have the Northeast, which is the high water mark in terms of growth of cases in the last week. That's where we're going to be going next week in our going out in the state to visit. We hope to be going to Blytheville next week. But that's a concern, the northeast part of the state. The central sort of holds its own because of the population base. That's a concern, though, in terms of the increase. And, of course, we're in the southeast, and the southeast is not where we want it to be, but I did note that 44% of the cases, active cases in the southeast region are in correctional facilities. Now, it's still a concern because they're part of our community, but it still is an important factor to know as to what this means to the overall community. In the southwest, of course, you can see. And then if you look at the, again, this is the southeast region, the 7-day rolling average of new COVID cases in the southeast region. And so we like the direction of that, but we can still see that that's about, what is that, about 90 new cases is the 7-day rolling average as to where we are right now in the region. And then this is the hospitalization in the southeast region. And, of course, you can see where that is, that it's come down some from its high water mark. And then the growth rate of cases in the southeast region by county, and that breaks it down even more. And as we indicated yesterday, we hope to start having specific information for school districts that sometimes cross county lines. But in terms of the counties, and we'll just go through a few of them, and this is by percent increase in number of cases over that period of time. Top county is Cleveland. That has increased about 44% in cases, in new cases. You look at Drew County, where we are today. That's about 22% in terms of the growth rate for that period of time. You go over to Prairie County, which is, you know, a smaller county, but they've had an increase. And I think the message here is that in every area of the state, if you're in a rural area or an urban area, there is the virus that is existing in your community that if you're not careful, you're going to catch it. And you're going to be a statistic, and nobody wants to be a statistic. And then let's go to this is by age group. We break it down a different way for the southeast region, and it's always important to see where we have most of the hospitalizations and the serious illnesses in the 65-plus range. Our cases are actually in the 18 to 24 is a growth area of cases, and 0 to 17. Now, these are relatively, you know, what is it, about 17, 18% for the 0 to 17, 18 to 24, about 20%. But it impacts every age group, we can see as well. No one is immune because you're young, and nobody is exempt because they're healthy either. And then let's come back now to the test that we've been running here in the state. And this is on the positivity rate. And so, You know, if you have 100 tests being done and you have 90 that are negative, you have a 10% positivity rate. CDC says we like to keep that below there. And you can see that we have not been where we want to be in our percent positivity. We've got more work to do. It'll be interesting to see as to those early numbers that are lower as to whether they are filled up in the coming days and it goes up a little bit, because that's because these are entered by date of test result, and so that can be filled in. So I'm hopeful that will stay down, but I know that that could go up some as well. And this is by facility type, and this tells the story again that our Department of Health Laboratory is doing an extraordinary job working 24/7 to do our tests. We got UAMS that does tests, which is reflected by the orange, and the red is the commercial labs that the Drew County Hospital is dependent upon. It is based upon our clinics that here that does the testing. They will send it off to a commercial lab if they don't send it to the Department of Health, and the commercial lab is decreasing in its production. Why is that happening? It's because there is incredible demand across the United States from Texas and Florida and California putting pressure on the commercial labs. It delays the response time, and it is decreasing in the number as well. And so that's why we're putting pressure and we're doing everything we can at a federal level to increase the production of our commercial labs, because that's hurting the information flow here in the state. And finally, before I turn it over to Dr. Romero, I wanted to add one point as an announcement today. And I'm announcing that today I will be signing a letter of intent with the Rockefeller Foundation and with other states, in which we are going to work as a consortium of states to enhance the buying power of states with our commercial labs to strengthen our place in the marketplace, so that we can give them confidence that they can expand, that they know the demand is there, because the states have committed to that demand. And this is a letter of intent that I'll be signing that then, as we get more information about what the state's commitments will be and what states want to join this, then we'll be able to get concrete as to what our expectations are and how that will benefit us. It would be nice to be working with the Rockefeller Foundation and other states as I sign this letter of intent to hopefully increase the access to our commercial labs for the benefit of the state of Arkansas. With that, Dr. Romero.
Thank you, Governor. So let me repeat some of the numbers the Governor has given and expand on them. So as mentioned previously, 703 new cases in the last 24 hours. Those are comprised by 679 from the community and 24 from correctional facilities. Hospitalized individuals has decreased by 21, is now 486. Ventilated patients, 113, and that's also decreased by 3. We've had an increase of 7 deaths to 573. Our total recovered cases has increased by 818 citizens and now is at 43,816. The active cases, 6,725, broken into 69 nursing home cases, 741 correctional cases, and 5,915 community cases. The testing has been already described by the governor, and the percent positivity is the same. Since we are here in Drew County, wanted to let you all know that the cumulative positivity rate within the state, within the county, is 6.5%, and the majority of the cases that have been reported are occurring in the 25 to 64 age group. That's about two-thirds of your cases. So I'll stop here and turn this back over to the governor.
Thank you, Jose. And with that, be happy to take any questions.
Governor, I understand that this will be your first high school visit since the pandemic has been going on. So what are you hoping to learn from this visit with school coming up here in less than 3 weeks?
Well, I want to take a visual inspection as to their preparation for classes that will be coming up in a couple of weeks. And I'm excited about the visit. It's one thing to hear reports from school administrators and teachers, but it's another thing to be there actually to visually see their preparation, and hopefully get to meet with some of the staff that's there. So we want to learn and to see how we can be better prepared.
And speaking on that, yesterday the Arkansas Education Association said, quote, "We're not ready regarding the upcoming school year with COVID." So do you think this visit will grasp why these educators are so concerned about the reopening, especially with those in-person classes?
Well, of course, anybody who goes to work in this environment or goes to any event in this environment naturally has to be worried. I mean, because we should be worried. If we go out into the public, if we go to work, by being worried, that means we're going to be careful. That means we're going to wear a mask. We're going to be careful to socially distance to protect ourselves and protect others. And so that's a natural feeling. And I understand teachers have a level of concern that I fully respect. That's one of the reasons I want to go today, to see the classrooms, to see the preparation, to make sure that they have what they need. And so let's get ready. Let's be prepared. And I think we can have a good school year. Yes.
Joe Burgess, MonticelloLive.com and HamburgHeadlines.com. First, welcome back to Monticello again, sir. In covering news, I have several school districts here in Hamburg that I follow, and I've seen so many times a plan has been drastically changed or scrapped, and I understand things cause the changes that happen, but with school being as close as it is it pretty much we're locked into what we've got unless something drastic happens?
Well, again, I'm glad we had 2 extra weeks. The fact that we delayed school for 2 weeks gave us more time. And sure, there's adjustments that have to be made. I mean, what I learned today is that, you know, there's a fluctuation in the number of parents that want to send their children to school for in-classroom instruction and those that opt out for virtual instruction. That varies some. And sometimes it's based upon new information that they have. And then we are continuing to issue and refine the guidelines on sports, on ban. And so this is information that we are working hard to make sure we get it right, both for their safety, but also that they can actually enjoy that activity. So there's a lot of work to be done, and we're working very hard to get it done over the next 2 weeks. With that, let's see if there's any questions remotely.
Yeah, Governor, this is Andrew with AP. Want to ask about two things. First of all, on that letter of intent, want to see if you had a little more detail on what other states, if any, have signed on to this. Is the state putting up any money or committing any money to this? And the second area I wanted to ask you about was kind of clarifying comments yesterday on the details about cases in school districts. Is the state going to be at some point providing information on number of teachers, number of students, number of staff by school district or even by school so the public has an idea of what's happening in terms of potential outbreaks in these districts?
You're talking about data in terms of positive cases in the school districts?
Yeah, positive cases, positivity rate, cumulative, active, kind of the same type of data you were talking about for school district population, but by student and teacher and staff.
Well, I don't know that we would have it. We're not going to provide the names of students or staff or teachers.
No, numbers, sorry.
In terms of numbers, we're continuing to refine that as to get it right to protect privacy, but also provide as much information as possible. And so I know that we will have the data broken down by school district. We'll have the information broken down by activity as well. Dr. Romero, do you have any more specifics on that?
Thank you. So we are trying to work to get a more granular information to you. So there will be, as we talked about, sort of school district or and if possible, down to the school level. We're discussing that now. We don't know whether we can actually do that and respect confidentiality in HIPAA, but we are going to work to that end, and we're looking at that very carefully.
Andrew, in terms of the letter of intent, and it's a letter of intent that as we then get more specific information on the state's obligation, then it will be entered into a more formal contract, and then we will know what the state's obligation is, and it will be in terms of a commitment for purchasing and creating the demand for testing supplies in the future so that the supplier and the commercial labs will know what the demand will be because they've got that commitment by various states. In terms of what states, there's a small list of states that have agreed to this, and that's likely to grow, but we'll try to get that information to you through our office a little bit later. And you can have a signed copy of the letter of intent later today. Other question?
Governor, it's Mitch McCoy at Channel 4 and Fox. The World Health Organization has recently suggested that non-essential dental care in areas of COVID-19 community transmission. Do you know of any changes regarding guidance for dentists in Arkansas that might be coming?
I'm not aware of any change in guidance. You know, we follow the CDC guidelines as supplemented by our own Department of Health. We have guidelines that are out there for our dental practice. I'm not aware of any changes to that. Next. Yes, right here.
Governor Greg Reap, I'm with SalineRiverChronicle.com.
Yes.
And I just wanted to ask, I know you're dealing with a lot of issues with the schools and all that, but as far as we're in South Arkansas, talk about high school football, has the task force got a deadline on when they're going to come out with their recommendations for attendance and that type of thing, at the assuming that football is played?
That's an important question, Greg. And in reference to football, the guidelines are in place. We do not have the final go-ahead I know the schedule is in place, but the final go-ahead for resuming the game schedule. And I expect to have the discussion with and information from our working group very soon, and that decision will be made and announced. The expectation is that we're moving toward football games this year and the other contact sports. We have the guidelines in place. We just need to make sure that our experience in our practices and the conduct of the players you know, leads us to the point that we feel comfortable in proceeding with the schedule. This next week, they'll be having some games that are benefit games, so that will be a good experience for them. We have some limitations on those. And then you ask about the attendance. And those are subject to separate guidelines from the Department of Health. And Dr. Romero, do you know where those are on the attendance? I think you approve them in mass, or do you approve them individually?
They're individual.
Yeah, come on.
So with any large event, a plan is submitted to the health department and approved individually. There are general guidelines that serve as a framework on which to submit those that request. So they're dealt with overall individually.
Any other questions remotely?
Yes, Governor, the National Governors Association, I see, asked the President of the White House for about $500 billion for state aid. Can you talk about that a little bit, where you think that stands and how you feel about that now compared to several months ago when you felt pretty good about Arkansas being able to survive budget-wise on its own?
Thank you, Neil. And this is an example of where Arkansas, budget-wise, does not need to have any federal money. We're in good shape under the circumstances. Our economy is growing. And so that request is not on behalf of Arkansas. But I do have a role as a vice chair of the NGA and part of the leadership to speak for all of the states. And I know that other states have been hit much harder than Arkansas has, and that we don't want to bail them out in terms of previous deficits, but in terms of the consequences of the COVID and the way it has hit the state's economy, there is that need that's out there. And our focus in Arkansas is having the assistance for the schools that are needed. I hope the next federal package includes assistance for the schools. Secondly, in having expansion of broadband, that's a great need that is related to COVID, to make sure that we have the federal partnership for Medicaid reimbursement at enhanced rate. Those are some specifics that are important for Arkansas that we'll continue to push for. The overall package that I indicated that the states need really is in reference to all the states combined.
And then another. Just a follow-up, Governor, if I could, and that is with regards to the unemployment insurance. I guess the White House said yesterday now states don't have to contribute to that. Do you have an update on when that might happen for Arkansans?
No, I think you're speaking of the enhanced unemployment benefits that are subject to the president's executive order. I had a discussion today with the Department of Finance on that and with the Department of Commerce. And we're not ready to make a final decision on that because we're still looking at the numbers, the cost of the state, the guidance continues to change from the federal government on that. And if we did do that, we'd have to have some legislative appropriation for it. I have our legislators here that would have to address that as well. So we're still in the early stages of that, and we'll see how the guidance develops federally.
And, Governor, it appears the numbers are going down in Northwest Arkansas. What do you attribute that to?
Well, thank you. And this should be a lesson for the state. Whenever you can see such a challenge and a growth in cases that concerned everyone, it was considered a hot spot nationally, and that was the growth of cases in Northwest Arkansas. And because of our concentrated efforts in contact tracing, testing with the community, wearing masks and social distancing. It was just a concentrated effort by the community and said, this is a serious problem that we don't want to get worse and we got to turn it around. And they did. And you can't let up. You got to keep after it. But that's a message for every area of the state. You can see it in other states. Louisiana enhanced cases will come here if we're not careful. Mississippi challenges that they face. If we aren't careful, they're going to come here. And so it's encouraging to me that with a concentrated effort, with discipline by the citizens of Arkansas, we can turn anything around. We work together and we get it done. So I'm encouraged by that.
Governor, you've said repeatedly that you've spoken with the administration about your concerns about testing. You've asked for the National Defense Production Act to be used to increase testing. Is the announcement today that you're forming a consortium with other states to go about increasing commercial testing capacity, is that a signal that you're not getting the action that you would like from the federal government?
It's a signal that testing is so important to our strategy that I'll knock on any door to achieve the result of greater success. And so I'll continue to push for national solutions to the shortage of the commercial testing labs, but I'll also help from a state perspective to create that demand. And in my conversations with the administration, they have invoked the National Defense Act in various ways, and they're very engaged on trying to increase the testing capacity. We just haven't got it done yet.
Governor, this is Melissa Zigowitz with THB 11. We're hearing reports that Mabelville Middle School in the Little Rock School District already has a confirmed case 2 days into teacher professional development. We're told several staff have been quarantined, but not all staff were notified. So is it worrisome to you that teachers are already testing positive without students there? And do you think schools should notify everyone in the school whenever someone tests positive?
Well, we need to understand that whenever we have increased activity, whether it is the social activities of a community or whether it is school or whether it is sports, there's going to be some cases that develop. And so there's no surprise at all. We're not going to get bent out of shape when that happens. It's just a matter of trying to responsibly deal with that, because that's why we developed the plans for that eventuality, which we know is going to happen in different schools. Dr. Romero, you can address in terms of how we respond to that.
So at this time, our response, it sounds like it was appropriate in that you would notify those individuals that are close contacts of the individual that has positivity. You don't necessarily have to notify the entire school. As I said before, these data, we hope that we'll be able to give you this type of granular data so that we'll be available. But it's not the purpose of the contact tracers to let the whole school know about this. They did what was appropriate.
Right here, Channel 7.
This actually question is for Dr. Romero. Dr. Romero reported there was an unusual high percentage of kids with COVID in Washington County and a number of other counties. But yesterday, he said that age group was not trending up. What's changed since July?
So I believe this was a response by the question by one of the reporters about a report of increased number of cases throughout the country, and we were also contributing our data to that. So, yes, there was an increased number of cases. We have, again, tracked it. It seems to be going down. Part of that number of increased cases is from the Northwest because of the large outbreak that we had up there. So what we noticed in our data analysis internally was that the essential workers, those individuals that were engaged in essential activities, were bringing the virus home and infecting the children in the home. So we think that with the control of the outbreak in the Northwest, that's what's trending downward. So we're going to keep an eye on that.
And Governor, one of my last question to you is, you know, with your visit here to the school and kind of understanding whatever resources this school needs or any school in Arkansas needs, from whatever you learned, do you hope to be able to swiftly provide those resources to Arkansas public schools?
Yes, if there's a shortage of PPE, if there's a need out there, we want to be able to meet that need. That's exactly what we want to do. And, you know, I think the schools have done an incredible job from the reports that I received today in preparation. They have the PPE. They're prepared in the classroom. They have their blended education environment. So hopefully I'll be there simply applauding them and the work they've done and learning from it. But if there's a gap, we want to be able to close that gap. I think that concludes the questions, unless I hear anything else. I will say that this has been a treat to be here today, and look forward to the session and going to the school. I want to thank the community again, and I want to give a special thanks to our communications team that come and make this possible, that we can broadcast from Monticello, or we can broadcast anywhere in the state. They put it together, and they work very hard to do it. So hats off to y'all. Thank you.